This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3644, for Thursday, the 21st of July, 2022. Today's show is entitled, Pinball Machine Repair Tips. It is part of the series Hobby Electronics. It is the first show by new host Celeste, and is about 25 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, as a first show, I introduce myself and show some repairability tips for July 15th, 2022 pinball machines.
Hello everyone, this is my very first episode I'm making, and I don't know if I will have time to make other episodes, but I'm following HPR from some time and I wanted to contribute back in some ways, at least with one episode. We'll see if I will have enough free time to make more, and also I need to find curious topics to talk about that may be interesting for you. Today's topic is about pinball machine repairs, and it's not strictly a topic of about new tech or current day's tech even, but I thought that maybe some of you in the audience, as this is Hacker Public Radio, you are hackers and you like to tinker with stuff, do-it-yourself stuff and similar, so I thought that pinball machine could be interesting. First of all, we will follow this path a little bit, or who I am. I will not say much, but just to warn you about me being Italian. Then we will see some how I got the pinball machine, and then some repairability tips. So, first of all, as I said, I am not a native English speaker, so I hope you can understand completely what I say, and I hope I don't make pronunciation mistakes all the time. One of the common pronunciation mistakes I make, I do, which is I end up reading English words like they were Italian words. For instance, do you know the radar? The spinning thing in airports or on boats to detect other boats. Well, I read it in the Italian way usually, because in Italian we just copied the writing of the words and we read it in the Italian way, so it becomes radar. And I tend to make some mistakes like that. So, if you don't understand a word, maybe just simply write it down letter by letter and then read it in the strange English way. So, because you know, for people who don't know, in Italian you each letter has its corresponding sound and vice versa. So, you just read what it's written and you just write how you heard the word. That's it. You have learned how to write in Italian. You have the skill now. So let's start. How I got a pinball machine. Maybe a decade ago, it's already a decade ago, there was a shop owner, a local shop owner, who had a shop where you can find many coin ops and play them. You could find the pinball machines, slot machines, and similar. And this guy was dismantling all the old machines to replace them with new ones. So he was quite happy to get rid of the old machine without having to pay for the dismantling. So me and my dad, we just had the chance of finding him at the right time, at the right place, and he said, "Hey, I have this pinball machine, do you want one? I want to get rid of them for free, so if you pay for the transportation, you can just come here and pick it up." Wow, that's perfect. The problem is, one, pinball machines were not designed to be moved easily, and they are very heavy. So bringing it around is quite difficult. Secondly, it had many broken parts. It almost functions. It almost worked, but it had some missing parts. The rubber bands were all destroyed, were very old and stiff, not elastic anymore. And also, there were some patches, some very badly made repairs, like there was a broken decals, and instead of buying a new decals, this guy picked up a screw and screwed that into the decals, added one randomly in the in the frame. So at least this was not so bad looking, so that screw is still there, but that's shame. That's a shame when you destroyed the original part like that. Okay, so some repairability tips I wanted to give them. So first of all, I was saying it was not fully functional, and for many years I tried with my dad to repair some parts, but when you repair some parts, after that maybe some months passed and another part breaks. And then another part breaks. So we never got it fully functional because, as I said, it was already full of patches. So it was just easier. It was just better to replace stuff instead of trying to add another patch of the patch of the patch. Luckily, there are some websites where you can find parts. And I will talk about this later also. So, fast forward to 2020, you have COVID-19, you have lockdowns, everyone at home, and finally we got all the free time we wanted to finally completely repair the pinball machine, and we did it! We did it! In the meantime, also the screen broke, but we repaired that. And, wow, it works! And it's some months, almost a year now, yeah, a year now. Almost 2 years, actually. Yeah, 2 years, and it's still working. It's perfect. So we did a good job. Anyway, let's see some repairability tips. First of all, if you come from European Union or if you come from every state that uses the metric system, you should probably, depending on the machine, you should probably find some imperial units wrenches. Not because imperial units are good, honestly, I dislike them a lot, but you're free to use imperial units, just be ashamed of that. They are not sensible, really. Anyway, let's go back to the main topic. My pinball machine is Indiana Jones The Pinball Adventure from the 90s, produced by a company named Williams. I think it's based in California. So everything is designed in Imperial units. So make sure to find Imperial units wrenches to be able to unscrew everything you want. You also need a complete set of wrenches because you have some strange formats like 11 out of 16 inches, 5 out of 6 inches, and similar. You have to buy the full set. Second tip, there are some high voltage parts, so pay attention. Really, pay attention, because we are used to nowadays electronics where everything runs at 5 volts, 3.3 volts, and similar, 12 at most. But 90s technology in pinballs ran at full voltage, I would say, at full voltage. Obviously, there were some parts are at lower voltage, like the electronic parts, but all the screen also have a has a hundred and something. I can't remember the correct number, but it was more than 100 voltage. And also the coils need a lot of power to drive them. There are some protections in my pinball. Make sure there is one protection in yours too, which is when you open the little door where you put the coins, when you open the door, the pinball disconnects the coil circuitry to protect you when you put your hand inside the machine, so you don't get electricity in your hand. But it's really better to just unplug the electricity before touching anything. And also, after you have unplugged it, wait for seconds, maybe even a minute, because there are some very big condenser, which maybe are not called condenser, I'm making a bad translation from Italian. Capacitors. There are some very big capacitors which remain charged for some time. So make sure to wait for them to completely discharge before touching anything. Another thing I wanted to suggest you is where to find parts. There are some websites out there who still make parts on their own. For example, the last website I bought from, it was called Ministry of Pinball, something like that. And it has quite complete parts. Pay attention to customs. If I think that shop is from Netherlands. Also, it happened that one of the parts took so much time for the shipping because it was from a shop from United Kingdom, and since Brexit happened, even if you are in Europe, it takes so much time to get past the customs. Keep in mind that depending on how it goes, it may take a lot of time. They are not scamming you, it's just slow. A cool part about how pinball machines and 90s technology, maybe in general, was built is that it was easy to repair, also because components were very big and easy to handle than current day's circuitry and electronics. So it's really easier to unscrew a coil and swap it than it is to swap a microcontroller soldered to a board using a microscope. That's clearly easier to swap a coil. It's clearly easier. But also, they tend to make you repair the object easily, the device easily. My pinball machine, and most pinball machines have it too, they have a schematics book inside the machine. You open up the door, and inside you have the full book with all the schematics of every possible circuit in the machine, with listing every possible component, every possible resistor, the value of each resistor, the code on the PCB of each component. So you can really see what's going on and know what to swap, where it is, and similar. Also, in the schematics book, you can find a description of some voltage control point, so you can troubleshoot the board by checking the voltage in the specific parts and seeing if it's corresponding to what it's written in the schematics. Some of these books can also be found online, so if you don't have one in your machine, or if you're buying a machine, make sure you can find one, because they are really useful. They guide you in repairing it. One thing I wanted to say is that if you want to buy a machine, you found one, there are some parts you have to worry more about and some parts you have to worry less about. So you can estimate if it's a proper price or not better. One of the worst things you can find is machines that were left in humidity, in bad condition, water. You will spot them from the wood who got bent, and every contact is oxidized. I mean, oxidization is repairable with some spray substance, but bent wood, that's a problem. You would have to swap everything, or ask someone to make a custom wood board just for that. That's not an easy stuff, so that's a problem if you find bent wood. Some parts, like a specific circuitry, may be difficult to find. The good news is that many boards are common between different models, are the same between different models. I can't recall if it was the coil controller or some other sensor parts. Let's say it was the coil controller or maybe the ball loader. Anyway, parts like that are common between many devices. For instance, they put the same 6-ball controller, the ball loader, the one that keeps the ball and then loads one and you shoot it. And then it keeps all the ball that fall down in it. That part has space for 6 balls, but they used exactly the same component for every other pinball I know. Even pinball who only had 1 ball, or maybe they had at most 3 balls, they still use the 6-slot loader. So why? Because in that way they only had to produce one part, and in one shot they had repair parts for everything. That's quite smart. So, as I said, make sure to check that. If the components who are broken are very common one, like that, they are easier to find. You don't have to worry about that. But if there are some parts like the ROM of the board or the game controller board, something very specific, make sure to see if there are some repaired parts, if that's broken or if it's oxidized or risking to break for some reason. After getting your machine, you will probably have to swap every single rubber bands in the machine, because you know rubber becomes very hard. It gets not elastic anymore after some time, so we'll have to swap them. Luckily, rubber band sets are very easy to find and quite cheap, so you're ready to go for that. Another part which is easy enough to find, not cheap, but easy enough to find at least, are decals, plastic decorations. You can find them online somewhere. I was checking before recording this podcast for my pinball, and they have still many parts. Another part you may swap once you get your machine are lamps. In the 90s, machines, you only had simple old style lamps, which was okay, very cool, very warm, but they break so easily. They break so easily all the time. You repair some lamps, then you play for some time, and after some months you have to open up everything in the pinball to reach two or three lamps that broke in the meantime. So one suggestions I can give you is that there are retrofitting parts where the producer of the repair parts made something with the same structure of the original lamps, but swapping the old lamp with LEDs, and LEDs are quite more bright. They some way ruin the dim experience. They're really, really bright, but at least they don't broke all the time. They don't break all the time. So we swapped every lamp with the LED lights, and I like the original look, but I would not go back for any reason. They are good looking, they are a bit more modern, and they don't break. Some people sell or swap the sound ROM. In the pinball you had already programmed chips, so if you want to swap the sounds you have to swap directly the chip. I didn't do that because I fear of ruining the board, and also I like the original soundtrack, the sound, the feel of that sound. You can find gameplay videos of this pinball machine. As I said, mine is Indiana Jones, the pinball adventure machine. I've played other machines in public places, but honestly, Indiana Jones the Pinball Adventure is one of the most fun I found. It doesn't have tons and tons of stuff. Later machines after that went on the challenge of adding more features, and then you have four flippers instead of two, and then you have tons and tons of moving parts, and then, but it ended up being just messy and unplayable. On the other end, it's not as simple as previous pinballs. I played one which was really, really old, and it was almost only chance. So pinball like that are a good compromise between features and playability. The gameplay is very very fun and changes over time when you play. So I can suggest you, if you are buying one machine, ask the seller to play some matches, play a bit, half an hour, 1 hour with the machine, so you see if you like its gameplay or not, if it's simple enough, if it's too messy for you, if it works, if you spot any broken part, any broken sensor, so you can make a good estimate of the repair price you will have to overcome. And also you see if the price the seller is saying is unjust, or is it of if it is a fair price. So I hope these tips can be useful to you, and As I said, I don't know if I will make another episode. It depends on my free time, and feel free to suggest new topics. Usually, I spend more time doing computer stuff, programming, and similar, but it's a little bit different episode this than compared to what I do every day. Anyway, thanks for listening. See you maybe next time.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.